And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Islam, socialism, and America. Socialism, Islam, and America. This is the, well, it's an ongoing topic in our country, and it is progressing more and more. It seems, if anything, to have been inflamed more and more with the presidency of Donald Trump. There's a headline here in an article on InfoWars showing a display in a bookstore. It says, "Shocking display in a bookstore promotes violent revolution." And an image that we're seeing more and more of, but it's a red banner in a bookstore, red banner with the fist of communism shaking in the air. And it says, "Radical reads for the revolution." Radical reads for the revolution. As though the communists in America are well aware that there is a Marxist revolution that they are planning and engineering for America, much like they have done in other countries like Russia, China, North Korea, Cambodia, Cuba, etc., etc., all the other countries that have been subverted by communism. And they are hoping to add America to their list of victims. Of course, there's a number of important things that would have to happen before that would be even remotely possible for them. But there's no question that the Marxist agenda is advancing in the United States, and with it is the Islamic agenda, because the socialists and the Muslims have been working together since before the Second World War. This is what we talk about in our audio CD on Hitler's Jihad. That whole history will make your head spin once you realize how far back it goes, and that this is not a recent development. I think that's so important to understand. And I also think it's important, because of what's happening, for us as Christians to understand the real history of our country. Because what the Marxists do is they go after history. You know, history is almost like the legs upon which a country stands, as it were. And they want to cut the legs out from America. And it's something that they do in other countries as well. I mean, this is a whole pattern of subversion. Marx said famously words to the effect that history is the battleground. And I remember I had a friend years ago when I first moved out to California, had a friend who was from Romania, and she talked about how communism had taken over her country, and they went in and set about rewriting the history of her country and the things that had happened there. And her father apparently was one of the people who spoke out against it, and he got in trouble with the communist authorities as a result. But this, we have to understand, is the tactic of communism. This is how the Marxists operate in virtually every country that they go into. They try to wipe out whatever history it is that gives a people confidence in who they are. And what they basically want to do is to say to our country, America was never great. You don't have any sort of noble history. Your history here is horrible. And really, your entire American idea should be fundamentally transformed into a Marxist state. That's really the only thing to be done for America. I mean, this is where all of their arguments are headed. All of them. All of the arguments about inequality and so-called racism and all of this stuff, it's all the unending problems of America, and the only solution is communism. That's their argument in a nutshell. And this is the reason why, brethren, we continue our work on our upcoming film, The True Christian History of America. In fact, I am hoping that you will all pray for me this week, because as you're listening to this program, I should be either getting ready to leave or I will be on my way to West Virginia. And I am going to interview a very prominent Christian lawyer named Herbert W. Titus. Herbert W. Titus. You can look up Mr. Titus online. He has his own Wikipedia page, which will tell you Herbert W. Herb Titus is an American attorney, writer, and politician. He was a candidate for Vice President of the United States in the 1996 U.S. presidential election on the Constitution Party ticket. Titus holds a law degree from Harvard University and a Bachelor of Science degree in political science from the University of Oregon, etc. Goes on to talk about how Mr. Titus dramatically converted to Christ. He is a very convicted Christian. He also became the founding dean of the College of Law and Government in Regent University. And this is why we're interviewing him, because he has very in-depth knowledge about our country's history and the history of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, in particular, its foundation in the Bible and Christianity. And he agrees with our view that really the core tenets of American law and American freedom, the freedoms and the civil rights and so on that we have, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, the right to bear arms, etc., all of these things are the offspring of the great Protestant Reformation and of arguments that were made by Christian thinkers and teachers and so on for hundreds of years before the American Revolution. But anyway, myself and Mr. Titus, we're going to be doing this interview on Thursday of this week. So if you would keep that in prayer, because that is going to be, I think, a very important interview. And I hope and pray it will be a great blessing for the Christian community to learn some of the details of our history and our heritage that are not typically discussed, or at least in my experience are not typically discussed. All right, so back to our main topic today, talking about the ongoing radical agenda of the left, which includes employing Islam as a weapon against the United States. Now, I've talked about this before, the whole scam with Malcolm X, the black Muslim guy. You know, I used to think that Malcolm X was possibly a sincere guy and was deceived about things when he was with Nation of Islam. And then he goes to Mecca and he comes back and he has like this revelation that he, you know, he said he saw blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white people that he could call his brother and this kind of thing. And then he became more authentically Muslim rather than Nation of Islam, which is kind of a blend of Marxism and Islam. But then you go and then I went and did more research into Malcolm X, come to find out, no, he just became more and more rabidly Muslim. He would have seen. See, I'm just still trying to figure out how he could have gone to Mecca in 1964, just 2 years after they had officially outlawed slavery, when nobody thinks that the Saudis actually gave up their slaves. And yet I have yet to find any record of Malcolm X condemning Islam for its practice of slavery. I have not yet. Now, if it's out there, please send it to me. Send me an email. You can send it to comments@adullamfilms.com. and or send it through our Noise of Thunder Radio page. Send me a comment, but I have yet to see it. Malcolm X condemning Islam as much as he condemned Christianity and white people for slavery, never a word about the fact that Islam has practiced slavery far longer than Western Europeans and is far more responsible for the enslavement of blacks in Africa. And it was the Muslims who were standing on the beaches waiting for the white slave ships to show up so they could sell the white men the black slaves that they had kidnapped from the inner parts of Africa. This is how the slave trade operated. But not a word about any of this from Malcolm X. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, because now we have another radical black Muslim, former NBA star, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has been around for a long time. And now he's becoming very political over this whole national anthem issue, where the Trump administration and many patriotic Americans believe that the football players, when the national anthem is being played, these guys should stand and honor our national anthem and the American flag, et cetera, and all that it represents, and that it's an insult for them to kneel in some kind of protest claiming that America is a racist country and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, if they wanted to complain about things, they could do that in other ways. But this is really a protest against America as a country. And it's really a show of ungratefulness. There's an article on this by, well, it's on Jihad Watch. Jihad Watch has an article talking about how the average NFL player makes nearly $3 million a year. $3 million a year. They make more money than probably 99% of all the people who ever lived throughout history. I mean, just think about that for a minute. Not just more than 99% of the people on Earth today, because that's 3 million a year. The vast majority of humanity is not doing nearly that well. But these guys are making more money than most people who ever lived anywhere at any point in history. If you just study history. And then all of the advantages that they have with airplanes, automobiles, modern technology, all that they have at their disposal because of God's many blessings that he's poured out upon America, and still they have this implacable demeanor. This implacable demeanor, as though America is guilty of some great injustice. And what's really ironic is when you bring in a black Muslim into this, when black Muslims are still running all over Africa right now, today, kidnapping, raping, enslaving, dismembering, and demoralizing blacks all over Africa. Millions of them. They got more than 6 million blacks as slaves in Africa. Black Muslims and Arab Muslims that treat blacks in a deplorable, inhuman manner. Treat them like animals, absolute animals. Beat them savagely. Tell them that they will literally tell them that they're animals. Go online, listen to some of the testimonies from people who have escaped slavery at the hands of Muslims. They have absolutely no regard for them as human beings whatsoever. It's unthinkable what goes on. And for any Muslim to stand up and to complain about America is nothing but hypocrisy and lies and deception. That's what it is. Hypocrisy, lies, and deception. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today, we're talking about Islam, socialism, and America. There's no question the relationship between the two, Islam and socialism, is that the socialists are gaining access for the Muslims into our system. That's their job. And then the Muslims begin to progressively push for Sharia and elements of Islamic tradition against Christianity. It's like they are just taking as many weapons, homosexuality and transgenderism and so on. These are weapons against the Christian community and against our Christian traditions. Now, Islam is another weapon. Atheism has been a weapon. Anything to attack our faith and our values and to try and systematically demoralize Christianity and the Christian population is what they are pursuing. And I've been, you know, there's a number of stories out there now about the progress of what's going on in South Africa. It's like there's an update every couple of days now because they've got things happening and the government there over and over again is maintaining their desire to confiscate the land of the whites, by which they really mean the Christians. They will openly say it's white-owned land that they're going to confiscate. And basically, they're going to end up ruining the industrial farming industry in South Africa. It's the white farmers that provide the food for most of the people. And it's the generally white population that pays most of the taxes in the country. I mean, what the communist ANC is doing and what they're pursuing is the suicide of their own country. And it's so important to remember this about communism and socialism. The way that they maintain control over a population is by destroying its economic strength. And then the people are forced to go stand in bread lines and try and get stuff from the government because they have no choice. Everything's been wrecked. Every independent opportunity that businesses and industry might have has just been trampled on or put under government control. So it makes it very, very difficult for anyone to survive in a system like that, except those who are specifically favored by the totalitarian regime, whatever it is. That's how it is in North Korea. That's why most of the people there are just run into the ground. But it's how they maintain control over the population. Because otherwise, the actions of a Marxist government makes no sense whatsoever. I was listening to one of the South African ministers talk about how they've confiscated some 4,000 farms already that they've taken control of. And people thought, well, maybe they're going to take these farms from the whites and then they're going to give them to the black population to maintain them. But no, they didn't do that. What they did was they took control of these farms and have just abandoned them. They're not having anybody run the farms. They're not having anybody grow crops or food or anything. They're just taking control of the farms and then leaving them. And so the food production has dropped dramatically. You've got people predicting if South Africa continues on this course, it's on a suicide course. Of course, it'll be devastating for the whites if they decide to just confiscate their land outright. I think that's going to lead to a full-blown civil war. They're going to be brought to armed conflict if it comes down to that. I think they'll fight. And we should be in prayer for them because, remember, these are a generally Christian people. But they are pursuing the same agenda in our country. It's just that our country is much bigger. We have a much larger population. We have a lot of patriots, and we have not allowed, one of the key issues, I believe, is, well, I would say it's we have a very strong faith in our country. God has been very gracious to our country. I have to say that first and foremost. The Lord has helped us here and really blessed us here. And we need to give thanks and glory to God always. And I really believe, and I've been studying Luther and the reformers and their views of Islam, and Luther's commentaries are really they're powerful reminders, because what Luther tried to warn the people of Europe about, where Islam is concerned, centuries ago, because there were so many people who were just saying, yes, let's take up arms and go out there and fight these Muslims, right? And Luther said, before you do that, you need to recognize that when an enemy comes upon God's people, if God allows an enemy to attack and win, it's usually a judgment from God. And so for Luther believed that the first order of business was to seek the Lord and repent, turn away from sin, and then the Christians in Western Europe would be able to stand and prevail against this enemy invader. That was the idea. I think the same principles apply today, brethren. I think the same principles apply today. And we've got to recognize there are some very strange and disturbing things that are going on. Pamela Geller, on her website, she's showing here at the Vikings football stadium. The Vikings football stadium here in America, here in the United States. Thousands of Muslims gathered together. Here's her headline. She says, quote, chanting Allah Akbar, tens of thousands of Muslims at massive jihad display of power at Viking Stadium. Imam who called for genocide of Jews to speak. Terror-tied Muslim Brotherhood speakers. And then the story goes on from there. And, of course, Pamela Geller is saying that this is intended to be a massive display of power. And then there's another story, a related story. The annual Caliphate Conference in Illinois, Muslims warned of perils of Western democracy, everything we represent in total contradiction to what the West represents. Now, here, this is an example where you see Muslim leaders admitting that this is a clash of civilizations, that they are not compatible with our country or the Western world. And of course, the American people and the people in Western Europe have every reason to be concerned. They have every reason to object to bringing in such large numbers of Muslims into our countries. Of course, makes all the sense in the world. Then you have this this other story here, just published a few days ago. There has been the ongoing dispute between Iran and President Trump. President Trump warning Iran not to threaten the United States again. And now you have an Iranian general released a photo, like an animated photo of himself blowing up the White House. That's the headline. Quote, Iran general releases photo blowing up the White House. The poster says, quote, we will crush the USA under our feet. You have that story. Then with that, you've got another story, quote, Iranian-backed sleeper cell militants hibernating in U.S. positioned for attack. That's another one on the Geller Report. You'll find it also on the Washington Free Beacon. Washington Free Beacon. And that's from several months ago, earlier this year, back in April, when that story first appeared. But these stories have been going on for quite some time, brethren, that we have enemies in our midst. We have groups in this country, whether it's the socialists who are talking about revolution, whether we've got Iran, whether there are threats from ISIS, all of these stories. And who can tell which of them are real, which of them are legitimate threats? But of course, after 9/11, as a country, we simply cannot afford to ignore those kind of threats anymore. But this is why we've got to lift up our country in prayer and pray for the wisdom and the discernment and the action of our leaders. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.